Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome the visitors that we have with us. We always are blessed to have visitors, and we're very glad that you came to worship with us. We've got a few prayer requests that I'd like to address before we get into our lesson. Anne has requested prayers for Shannon. She says, I ask for prayers for safe travels for Shannon Martin. Shannon's out of town right now, and I don't care how old you get, you're still your mama's baby. And we need to remember Shannon in our prayers. An update and continued prayers for Sean's Uncle Bob, Bob Chabot. God has blessed him that he's feeling better. He is still in the hospital dealing with issues such as blood clots and high blood pressure, which are continuing requiring him to be in ICU. But we need to continue to pray to God for his health and thank him for the progress he's made. And I've got one here, a rather serious one. It wasn't signed. Says, my wife of 13 years left me 4 days before Valentine's Day. I pray for strength for myself and my kids. 8 months earlier, their life was almost taken in a car wreck. He was hit and the car came on fire, and he had to have surgery that same day for a broken pelvis and tailbone. And the request is pray for him and his recovery. Let's go to God right now on behalf of these people, and then we'll get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you for the love and the blessings that you give us. Sometimes, dear God, when just natural occurrences of life happen, it's sometimes easy to overlook the blessings, but you do bless us, and you've given us wonderful opportunities while in this life. We ask that you please forgive us for the sins that we commit. We never want anything to come between us and our prayers offered to you. Dear God, we ask for prayers for Shannon while she's traveling. We hope she has a successful trip and comes back to us safely. Dear God, we continue to pray for Sean's uncle, Bob Chabot. We're thankful that he is improving. He still has a ways to go. Please let the treatments that the doctors have prescribed, please let those be successful and continue to let his health improve. Dear God, we come on behalf of this individual that is dealing with a number of issues, physical issues, emotional issues, marital issues. We pray for strength for him. We pray that he will find solace in your word and his brothers and sisters in Christ. Dear God, we ask that you be with us. Help us to be the kinds of people that we let our light shine for people that are hurting can find comfort in. Dear God, be with us the rest of our worship to you. We hope everything we have done has been pleasing to you and has been done and will continue to be done in spirit and truth. We pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Turned it on. Turned it on. The last few weeks, I think the last 6 weeks, if I remember, we've been looking at the overall topic of biblical leadership. And we've looked in the Old Testament at just the concept of leadership. We've looked at some examples of such as Moses. We've looked at the priest, the high priest. We've looked in the New Testament of the scribes and the Pharisees, of the apostles, and the last few weeks have been ultimately getting to this point here about elders. The last few weeks we've been looking at elders. Last week we looked at from 1 Timothy and Titus, I guess for lack of a better word, the requirements and the qualifications for elders. One of the things that we've seen in our study overall, even though this is New Testament and the priests were Old Testament and so forth, God has been very specific. God has never just let man guess what needs to be done. He's always been very clear about what he expects from people. And our study of 1 Timothy and Titus, we see an idea of what God wants for the leaders of his people now that the apostles are gone. Excuse me, now that Jesus is not with us anymore on this earth, the qualifications for leadership. Last week we looked at the qualification of character, that you've got to have good character to be a leader of God's people. There are so many different ways to look at these qualifications found in the New Testament. It can be, we could look at the issues of things to do and things not to do. I simply have broken it down into three of the categories that I have found that these two passages reveal to us. We looked last week at character. Today we're going to look at family and spiritual maturity. Our scripture reading that Frank read earlier was taken from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. And the apostle Peter is writing to elders. He says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." What a wonderful, not only an admonition, but an encouragement to these elders. The Apostle Peter gets it. Not only was he an apostle, he also was an elder. He understands what he's saying for these elders to do, and it's to shepherd the flock. Going into the passages that deals with family, both of the passages there in Titus and in 1 Timothy, they mention that an elder must be the husband of one wife. That encompasses a lot of different issues right there. There are many cultures that believed in polygamy. There were many, many cultures that even in our society today, this feminist movement, well, why can't the wife be an elder in this day and age? It's very clear. An elder is a man. And he's the husband of one wife. I don't know how clearer God could give it to us. Rules his house well. Verse 4 of 1 Timothy, It says, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Paul gives presents a very good rhetorical question that the answer's right there. How can a man oversee and be a good shepherd of the flock and maybe be helping and giving guidance and criticism and correction to people on things that he can't do? There's the argument. Well, they're no longer under my roof. I understand that argument. What more, what better of a showing is once they do leave the authority of your household, that they still are faithful, that they still are in submission? I've seen many, many times the kids come day and night, parents dragging them, kicking and screaming, but they're there. Is that what God wants? Does that qualify a man? The children are at every service. They're not in submission. They don't want to be there. They're there because you hog tie them, duct tape them, and drag them to church. What a glory to the Father that they've taught them well, that once they're out on their own, they're still faithful. How can a man counsel or correct a family when they don't even measure up? Faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. They're going to have to deal with things like that when it comes to the church of God. How do they deal? If you can't display leadership of a small thing, a family, how are you going to display leadership of a congregation? Elders are to be a step above. Spiritual maturity says in those qualifications, they need to desire the position. Some of the best examples I've ever seen, some of the most godly, spiritually mature people I've seen that I've looked up to, don't desire the position. Sometimes they understand what they're taking on, and they don't want it. I don't want to put me and my family in that situation. One of the first things is they've got to desire the position. They've got to be able to teach. How are they going to stand up for the Bible, correct, inspire, sometimes discipline, if they're not knowledgeable of the Word of God? How can they bring others into the fold without being able to teach? Not a novice. A novice is a newcomer. Our first thought is a brand new Christian. Is a brand new Christian. But it could be a brand new Christian to your group. Maybe they've been a Christian for 40 years. Maybe they're spiritually mature, but nobody knows them. They haven't proven themselves to you yet. Paul says, excuse me, not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, that arrogant, dangerous pride, that he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Somebody's just been baptized not too long ago, and they're wanting to be an elder. Have they have they demonstrated their faithfulness? Have they demonstrated that they've got what it takes for the long haul? Life is sometimes, and people are sometimes, roller coasters. Have you ever, I've got a boring life. I really do. My life is just kind of like this. You know, it doesn't change much. I know some people that they ride great heights and they come crashing down great lows, and then they come back and they're riding high again. What is it? The Frank Sinatra song, Riding High in April, Shot Down in May. We don't need a novice man as an elder that hasn't demonstrated his continued faithfulness. Matthew 13, Jesus gives a parable of the sower and so forth about the different seeds that are sown out. And he says, some sprang up, but they withered because they didn't have any roots. Those plants that spring up real fast, oh, wow, this is really going to be a great crop. But if there's no roots to it, it's just going to wither. Sun's going to come out, wither it up, and it's going to die. And you can't count on it. These are requirements. God knows what he's talking about when he gives us his requirements. They have to be holy. Holy does not mean perfect. A lot of people use this and the idea of being blameless as kind of the catch-all if we don't like somebody. They've got to be holy. They've got to be spiritually mature, set apart as holy. In 1 Peter, the same apostle that wrote our scripture reading today, in 1 Peter 2, verse 5, it says, he's quoting the Old Testament, as it is written, be holy for I am holy. We are called to be holy. Other than a few of the requirements about family, most of the requirements for elders are things that God wants us to be. It's not outlandish. God wants us to be holy, but an elder has to be. They have to hold fast the faithful word of truth as he has been taught. They have to hold fast. What happens when a majority of a congregation is immature and unknowledgeable? They just can't go with the majority. They've got to stand their ground and teach and exhort and show the flock this is the way to go. They've got to hold fast the word. They can't be driven with every different wind that comes along. They've got to stand their ground and hold fast. They need to be able to exhort and convict those who contradict the word of God. Goes back to the able to teach. How can they encourage, exhort, and convict if they don't know the word of God? In Hebrews 13, verse 17, we looked at this, I think, a couple of weeks ago. Hebrew writer says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. These men that we call elders, they watch out for our souls. They are watchmen. They are leaders, examples, somebody that we should be able to look at and follow in their steps. A man can have the qualifications, and I don't like the term a checklist, but sometimes we look at those qualifications as a checklist. A man could have those qualifications, but may not be a good choice to be an elder. That's possible. Maybe they have all the qualifications as Paul described to Timothy and Titus. Maybe they're too busy. Maybe they would be a great elder. They're at the point in their life where their children need them more than the congregation does. They may be pulled away through travel, through work right now, and maybe they don't have the time to fully devote themselves as an elder. You know, you're an elder, but when is it you're eldering? You're never here. Type attitude. Some people, and this is kind of an odd one, they might fit all of those qualifications, but maybe they're just not a leader of people. And you were in the military for many years. I know many of you were too. There's a lot of people at a certain rank that may have done all the requirements that it took to be promoted, but maybe they're just not a leader of people. An elder needs to be not only a leader, an example, have the qualities, all of that. I've known many, many people. The word, one of the synonyms of an elder is older people. One of the reasons they've gotten to that spiritual maturity is time. They've had many years to perfect and to grow and to mature. They are not a novice at this. This isn't their first rodeo type thing. They've been there. They've got the battle scars to prove it as a Christian. But maybe because of their age, maybe they're in poor health. They have no business putting extra responsibility and strain and stress on themselves, because it does. There is a great responsibility. You're shouldering the leadership of people. Maybe they have all the qualifications, but maybe it would be a health concern for them to take it on. Maybe lack of family support. They've got faithful children, but it's not for everybody. You're in a fishbowl. As an elder, you're in a fishbowl. Everything the elder says, everybody's going to be trying to look for the argument against them. Well, you said this, but look at you here. Maybe they're prepared to be an elder. Maybe their family isn't prepared for them to be an elder. And sometimes it might just not be a good fit for the congregation. Every congregation. And you guys know what? You know, we have a transient society today. It was not uncommon not too long ago for a congregation, for people to grow up, live, and die in the same congregation that their grandparents went to church with. But we move around a lot today. We're a much more mobile society. And you know that congregations have a personality. Of all the congregations in this town, each one has a slightly different personality. You can be sound and have a different personality. I like to think I'm a sound presenter of God's word. I hope I am. That's my desire. I guarantee you, I'm not a good fit for every congregation. For whatever reason that is. Same with elders. Why do some congregations not have elders? Sometimes, like us, we've been in existence a little over 10 years. We just haven't had men at the time. We've had some people move in. Eyes kind of brighten up, and they move on to another congregation or something. We at South Valley will have elders when God wants us to have elders. Whether it's this year, whether it's 5 years from now, just like the building. Tracy was praying for the building today. We will have our own building when God wants us to have our own building. The key is to serve God faithfully until then. Not just, well, when we get a building, we'll serve God. What are we doing now? That's what we need to ask. What are we going to do? And sometimes a congregation doesn't have qualified men at the time. There are some I've seen in congregations, some of the men leadership, they don't want elders because they're not qualified to be an elder, and they've got a lot of say-so. And if somebody else comes in, well, I've got to step back. I won't get my voice out. I've seen some preachers like that. It's my show. I'll tell you this right now. I've said it before. There's nobody at this congregation that wants, Preston, you and I have talked about it numerous. There's nobody that wants elders more than me. But I'll tell you, to sacrifice qualifications just to have men with a plastic name tag title is wrong. We cannot force a round peg in a square hole or vice versa. The dangers of not having elders. You're not organized in the way that God intended. That's us. That's what Paul told Titus. I left you in Crete to complete the things that are lacking. Great people, great congregation, no elders. You're not organized the way God intended. I pat the men on the back who day in, day out, year in, year out, here at this location, do the very best that they can in spite of us not having elders. I praise our men here that they have kept South Valley on the straight and narrow. They have kept South Valley sound. We have a reputation of loving, of warm and sound from outside people. The problem of not having a leader is everyone is a leader, but yet no one is. I want to do this. Okay. Well, what keeps somebody else from saying, but I want to do this? Aren't both of them valid? They're not right or wrong, but maybe they're contradictory. Causes, it can be a lot of problems. Then you run the risk of a majority vote. That's horrible. God's people has never been a democracy. Could you imagine if it was a democracy in the wilderness? You got to catch the Israelites on the right time, whether they're going to be faithful and following God or not. We don't want a majority vote, or worse than that. I've seen times where a very small but aggressive and vocal minority has run things just out of sheer either bullying tactics or charismatic personalities. they get their way. And if they don't get their way, look out. Those are some of the dangers of not having elders. Thank goodness we've been able to keep things on an even keel here for a number of years. What's a congregation to do without qualified men? One, pray. Continue to pray. Continue to pray for whether or not God wants us to have a building or not. Pray for having elders. Pray for your preacher. Pray for the congregation. Pray for our missionaries. Pray. Study to understand what true biblical leadership is. We have done that together the last few weeks. You can also do that on your own to make sure you understand, because you may be an elder someday. Keep studying. While you're doing that, take some time to pray. Men, do what you can to prepare yourselves to be an elder. Whether, you know, we've got a number of young boys here. Start now. Preparing yourselves to be an elder. Young men that may not even be married. Young newlyweds. Prepare yourself now. You just don't wake up one day and say, ding, I want to be an elder. You prepare yourselves. When you run out of preparing yourselves, pray. Hit your knees and pray a little bit about it. And families, you prepare yourselves. A man can prepare himself as much as he can, but if the rest of the family, if the spouse, if the children aren't fulfilling the needs and the qualities to do that, the man's just on a treadmill, putting forth effort, not getting anywhere. How sad it would be for the wife to deprive a good man from the church from being an elder. Now, I'm not putting a guilt trip on anybody or children. By the way you conduct yourself, your father would give the church a wonderful elder, except for you. How sad. Not all strong Christians must be an elder. There's not every Christian that comes along is going to be an elder. But all elders must be strong Christians. I hope this series of studies, I think this was the seventh week, I hope it educates us a little bit on the eldership. You need to continue to study on your own. We will have other lessons down the road of leadership and so forth. I hope it's opened people's eyes about it. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, through repentance, through prayer, whatever your need, please come forward while we're led in song.